Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. 512 Friday. Oh, this one's getting me hype. Who is this? Who's jamming right now?
This is Ian Moore with Barline 99. You can see him at Antone's this Saturday.
I like the energy of it.
Antone's.
Yeah. I spent some time there before. Oh, this is the new Antone's.
I haven't been to the new one yet.
I was going to say, yeah, it's the new one, but Antone's still representing the brand. All right, 512 Friday continues right here on Ball Don't Lie. Let's get to two big stories here, gentlemen, because these stories broke a couple of minutes ago. And one has to do with Major League Baseball. One has to do with the NFL. Hart, where do you want to start? Because both of these have a lot of meat on the bone.
Let's do the NFL first.
You want to go to the NFL first?
Yeah, okay. Because the other one hadn't been playing it for a long time either.
Well, I guess we got time to get to the other story.
Exactly.
You're right about that. Yeah. Well, this one has to do with Deshaun Watson. So for the first time since Deshaun Watson has been mired in controversy when the initial victims, or at least the alleged victims, when they actually claimed that he had conducted himself inappropriately in some of those massages, ever since that controversy started, Deshaun Watson has refused to apologize, essentially claiming I did nothing wrong and then kind of working his way around apologies but never apologizing to the women. So for the first time, and this was in the pregame show, Harsh, the pregame show for the Browns preseason game, he apologized to the women. Here's the actual quote. I want to make sure I get it right here. And he was being interviewed, and he said basically that I truly said, look, I want to say that I'm truly sorry to all of the women that I have impacted in this situation. The decisions that I have made in my life that put me in this position, I would definitely like to have back, but I want to continue to move forward and grow and learn and show that I am a true person of character, and I'm going to keep pushing forward, end quote. It's baby steps, Harge, but it is steps. I mean, remember, even Sue L. Robinson remarked in her decision, he had no remorse. He had showed no remorse at all. And that was also one of the reasons that Roger Goodell, one of the reasons that Roger, along with the egregious conduct and the what he called predatory behavior as well. Remember, she also said she thought Deshaun Watson was just flat out lying to her at times, too.
Right.
But yeah, she said one of her biggest issues with Deshaun Watson was his lack of remorse. I think this shows at least a step in that direction that he has thought about it now. And regardless of whether he broke the law, whether it rose to a point of criminality, if you will, and I always said this is OJ principle applies, just because you were found not guilty doesn't make you innocent, that he has some responsibility in this controversy. They did not press charges. Two different grand juries looked at the evidence and decided there is no criminality element here at all.
Right.
But that's aside from you being or you showing respect to these women in those situations and being a remorseful person and recognizing the man in the mirror moment, what your responsibility was in the situation. Yes, did you break? You know, you can acknowledge I didn't break any laws and there were no charges filed against me. But these women felt uncomfortable. These women felt they needed to go to law enforcement. They didn't feel safe enough with me that, you know, I must make changes. That is something that I must take account for. That's something that I must try to remedy. So that's a step in the right direction. That's progress to me. It is.
I agree with you with the progress. I agree with you with the fact that he needed to come out and say something about this situation. But I think what it is too is he's at that point where he realizes things are about to change for me, and I'm trying to save face now. And I don't know if I truly don't know if it's a remorseful part of it because of the fact of how defiant he was about it. I didn't do anything wrong. And remember, I don't know if it's a lie if you believe it, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So in his mind, he's doing all these different thought processes, and now he realizes, okay, Roger Goodell has been screaming to the rooftops that he wants an indefinite suspension. Therefore, he needs to come out. We've also heard the story of him saying Deshaun is willing to do an 8-game suspension and pay a fine. So he felt like, okay, let me get out in front of this. So I'm showing that I am trying to be remorseful in this time of desperation, really. Because he wants to play. Let's not get it twisted. This is all for him to put himself in a position to be able to play. So for him, It was long overdue. Mm-hmm. It was long overdue for him to do this.
Yeah, and we know sooner or later, maybe sooner rather than later, Peter Harvey, who has been the designee to hear the appeal for the NFL on the Deshaun Watson case and the Sue L. Robinson disciplinary officer who decided 6 games was the suspension that she was going to suggest and recommend. And I think he is going to probably go double-digit games. I don't know if we're going to get to a year-long suspension because yeah. I believe, in my opinion, that Deshaun Watson will be provoked to sue the NFL in federal court if they go for a year-long suspension. So I think if they keep it to 8 to 10 games, even pushing 12 games, I think they can justify that with Deshaun Watson and his camp, and I don't think they will provoke them to sue them in federal court. But if they go all the way for the indefinite suspension of at least 1 year, and he has to essentially, that would mean that he would have to reapply, I believe. I think when you're suspended indefinitely, you have to apply.
You have to apply.
Like reapply to be an NFL player again, which I don't even know what type of process that is. I think Deshaun Watson and the NFL Players Association will sue in federal court, much like Tom Brady did,
yep.
much like Adrian Peterson did. They may, Bounty Gate, those guys did too. You may not win, but they will exhaust that last avenue.
Absolutely. They have to. I mean, if you have nothing else to lose. Right, so you have to go out there and do that to try to see if you can at least get it cut down to whatever number it may be. If it's going to be out for the rest of the season, okay. So you sue for it, you might get 10 games, you might get 12 games. But if you, as long as you're doing it quickly, and that's the other part of this, we haven't got the ruling yet, so he can play tonight. He may get the ruling yeah. right after the game today.
He will. That's
they right. might get or headed into Monday. So he gets a chance to play because they didn't do the news dump today like most of the time. Like everybody thought it was going to be before the game.
I thought
it was going to be before the game.
I thought that news dump would be. I mean, considering what's happening.
He said exponentially he was
going to
do it.
He did say expeditiously. And considering what's happening yes. in this country with all the controversy surrounding President Trump and
yeah.
all this other stuff, there's plenty of ways for you to just dump that out there and America would be distracted by other
exactly.
stuff going on. And Deshaun Watson would take, that story would take a back seat.
Which is why we're going to get into this other story here in a minute, which was dumped today. Which
yeah.
people are going to talk about, but it's going to disappear. It's not going to be a bigger story.
Yeah. No, I want to get to that story, too, because that is a shocker as well. But I will say I even hate to feel like this, but I'm looking forward to seeing Deshaun Watson on the field because I haven't seen him on the field in a year and a half. And I think people forgot how good Deshaun Watson was. I think it's just that simple. I think people forgot how good Deshaun Watson was. And as a reason that he ended up getting that fully guaranteed contract and that big deal is because at the time, I mean, it was at the time, last season, I mean, he's a top 5 quarterback. And
yeah.
he's, not last season, two seasons
two
ago.
Two seasons ago.
I forget
yeah.
that he didn't play. It's been so long since he played. But 2 seasons ago, Deshaun Watson was a top 5 quarterback
no
in
doubt.
The league.
No doubt about it.
And I'm sure some people would like to debate that. You can debate that if you want to. But considering the pieces that were around him and how incompetent and how inept the Texans were, it was amazing the type of stats that he was putting up. And I'll give you one stat, and we'll move on to this other story here because this one blows me away. It shows you kind of give you perspective, contextualize how dominant Deshaun Watson was. So there have been 4 quarterbacks in NFL history to have finished a season with at least 4,500 passing yards, 30 passing touchdowns, at less than 10 interceptions, and at least 8.5 yards per attempt, or at least averaging 8.5 yards per attempt.
Yeah.
Those 4 quarterbacks are Peyton Manning in 2004, Aaron Rodgers in 2011, Matt Ryan in 2016, and Deshaun Watson in 2020. I believe
was 2016 his MVP.
That was MVP year.
Year.
I believe Aaron Rodgers. Did Aaron Rodgers win the MVP in 2011?
Probably.
They were 15-1. Got to go see
yes.
if they did.
then yes,
I think that might have been one of his MVP years. I can't remember. And Peyton Manning did it in 2004. I got to go look and see if Peyton Manning won the MVP at 2004.
I'm
but
about
they,
to look.
They were 12-4 that year. So. The year Peyton Manning did it, they were 12-4. The year Aaron Rodgers did it, 15-1. The year Matt Ryan did it, won the MVP. They went to the Super Bowl, and he was 11-5. Deshaun Watson did it. Texas went 4-12.
Man. Man.
That dude was good, man. He's legit. He's legit.
What? Okay, you
2011
said
and, for
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. 2000 what?
2011?
Yep, he did.
04 for Peyton Manning?
Yep, he did.
Damn. And then Matt Ryan did it in 2016.
And Matt Ryan did
it. So they've all won MVPs when they did that, and then the only one that didn't do it, that didn't win MVP when he did it, was Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Okay. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's move on. Yeah, that dude was good, man. He is a certified freak, and he has got some issues.
That's Nicki Minaj.
He's deplorable. Yeah, deplorable, disgusting, predatory behavior, but on the field, he was a top five QB in a lot of respects. Okay, this story, Harge, blew me away, and I think you're a little shocked by it, too. This is reported by Jeff Passan that Padres star Fernando Tatis Jr. violated Major League Baseball's performance-enhancing drug policy and is now been given an 80-game suspension.
Without pay.
He will forfeit $1.3 million for remaining 48 games of 2022 and another $1.2 million for 32 games missed in 2023. What is this substance, Harge? Because you're the baseball guy, so you probably know of stuff like this. Not that you've used it,
but because
the research over the years.
It's a synthetic androstene and a derivative of testosterone. And it's called...
So synthetic?
Yes, okay. It's synthetic. And it's called cholestabol. Is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Clostebol.
Okay.
Clostebol. You can look it up in Wikipedia, and it states that during the chemistry, it's four. I mean, I'm not getting all the way in that, but it's a synthetic androstene steroid, and it's a derivative of testosterone.
Okay, so here's the question, because this happens in the NFL a lot too, right? Performance enhancing drugs, and a lot of guys end up getting caught with it. Their excuse is, I was using some other substance and I didn't realize it had this banned chemical in the substance I used, whatever it was.
That's my story and I'm sticking to
it. That's your story, I'm sticking to it. I didn't know they had it in there. And the problem with that is there are resources out there players in these professional leagues, which I played in and Harris played in, that will educate you on banned substances and give you real-time answers about those questions if you use them, and apparently Tatis did not. If that's the excuse he's using, I'm not sure if that's the excuse he's going with.
Right. But for even further reference, two other Major League Baseball players were previously suspended because of that.
Oh, so this is getting popular.
Freddie Galvis was suspended in 2012 when he was with the Phillies, and D. Gordon was suspended when he was with the Miami Marlins. So
interesting.
He has a point of reference on the drug. Therefore,
so you're thinking
you're unexcused on this, because that, to your point, there's a list of what you can take, there's a list of what you can't take, and you have a point of reference of why these two other players, both infielders, by the way, got suspended for taking this exact same supplement.
Yeah, so hard to plead.
Excuse me, steroid.
Hard to plead ignorance on it, I guess is kind of what you're saying. Like,
yeah.
Total ignorance on it.
Yeah.
We have not, there's nothing that's come out about his side or whatever, and I don't know how long we'll have to go before there is an explanation or an excuse for this. What are your thoughts about how this impacts the Padres? They've been one of the teams that's been kind of one of the it teams in Major League Baseball now because of the moves they've made and because of the star power that they had. What are your thoughts about?
They still got some star power.
Yeah, they still got a ton of it, actually. Yeah. What are your thoughts about how this affects the Padres? Some people were saying they could end up making a playoff run this year, possibly.
When he came back, that's what everybody was thinking about. But when you start looking at what they've done thus far without him even being there, they're 63-51. 16 games back behind the Dodgers, but the Dodgers are beating everybody, so you can't really look at it that way. But you start looking at how it's set up. They've been playing without him. So this is going to give somebody else. Maybe now you got to look at the waiver wire a little bit later, see if you can go get another shortstop that can provide that type of pop. You can't replace him, but you're going to be able to go out and you have better pitching now. You shored up your back end. You got some more stock from Soto. You also got Bell at first base. So you're going to have some places. And, again, he's been hurt off and on the last couple years, so you're going to be able to do some things. But, yeah, it does kind of suck for the overall look for them.
Yeah. I mean, he's just one of the best, biggest stars in Major League Baseball, period. Mm-hmm. One of the most exciting players to watch, one of the best athletes. And you pointed out, we talked about this during the break, if he was doing it, if he knew what he was either consuming or applying to his body, let's just say that he actually did know, that he was just trying to get the edge, you would have thought, at least you explained to me, you thought it was because he was just trying to get back.
Yeah.
That it's not something he'd been doing, habitually. This is just something like, I'm trying to get back.
Yeah.
Once I get back, I'm good. Right. And they probably tested him in that process.
Well, because he was about to make it, he's working his way back to the big leagues.
That's right.
So he was been to minor leagues, and now they were trying to figure out when they were going to activate him. They're like, well, hold on, let's go ahead and get him now. Let's test him now.
Let's just say, yeah, because if he's ignorant of it and didn't know that he ingested a substance or applied a substance because he didn't know it was a chemical that was in whatever product.
That was in the band.
Yeah. So that's aside from it. But this thought experiment, let's just say he knew. And he did it knowingly. He also knows they're going to test for it. They're going to test you at some point. They just think if he did take it intentionally, knowingly, did he think he'd just get away with it?
Yeah. Or maybe.
They can test you anytime they want to for PEDs.
For PEDs,
I believe that's NFL is the same policy. Mm-hmm. Like the PEDs, there is no timetable. There is no testing period. It's like anytime, any day. We suspect you. We coming.
That's right.
That's it.
So. Somebody said he was just trying to perform better in the bedroom.
Hey, you know what? People have used that excuse. Athletes have used that excuse before.
Oh, yeah.
There's more than one athlete that's used the excuse like, oh, no, that was actually a drug that I was using because I needed more testosterone because I needed to handle intimacy related problems.
They should have went after the stuff that Big Hurt is using. Him and Doug Flutie.
Oh, what is that? I see commercials all the time too. And it's always a couple of women in there.
Yeah,
who are talking about their husbands.
She'll like it too.
And always these desperate housewives who are sitting there like, "Ooh, Big Hurt, can you hurt me?"
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of stuff. So, but you're right. I don't know exactly why he may have taken the substance, but if he did do it knowingly, I think he was just trying to get back.
Yeah.
And they caught up to him. All right, we'll come back. Oh, before we come back, let's get into our Horn Top 20 countdown. We got some time here. Horn Top 20 countdown. Let's get to Oregon, number 11 on our countdown.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 11. The Oregon Ducks.
That new Genix. Thanks, Joe, number two. One day, that new Genix. We might all have to try it.
Yeah.
All right. Oregon didn't need any eugenics last year. They seemed to be a pretty spry bunch. Actually ended up with double-digit wins. Ended up with 10 wins. So good of a season for Oregon that their head coach, Mario Cristobal, decided to pursue greener pastures. No pun intended there. Went to Miami, and he is now the head coach of the Miami Hurricanes. But Dan Lanning now taking over Harge, and he was the defensive coordinator there at Georgia for their national championship run under Kirby Smart, so we think he's going to bring in some great defensive concepts, but I think the stars of this team are going to be on the offensive line for Oregon. I think that's what Mario Cristobal, that's his expertise. Yep. That's where he was devoting a lot of his attention and his resources to making sure they had the best O-line in the Pac-12, and I think they may be bringing back one of the best O-lines, if not the best O-line in the Pac-12. It's almost entirely intact. Their center, who dealt with some injuries last year, Alex Forsythe, he's coming back. They got a couple of pro prospects, TJ Bass, Laula. I hope I got that right. If not, I apologize, but he's a really good player on the offensive line for them. Also, the receiver group actually may bring back a couple of more weapons that people expect. Troy Franklin's a name to look out for. Chris Hudson, another name to look out for. So I think offensively, I have a lot less questions, and I have a lot more confidence in what they can do offensively, because you pointed out they bring in a veteran quarterback too in Bo Nix to pair up with that O-line.
Coming in from Auburn, Bo Nix just didn't live up to the hype that was given to him in Auburn. They expected a lot. His dad played quarterback there, so it was a lot to expect when he went there. So now he gets to go all the way across the country and go play for the Oregon Ducks, going with the coach that knows him well, too, because Lanning was the DC at Georgia.
Great point to bring up. So he knows where he can get him going
and tell him, hey, this is what we saw on film about you. You could go in there and correct all this stuff, and maybe you can get some things to happen. But the biggest thing you brought up was the offensive line. They got a junior senior, and a sophomore tight end.
Loaded, man.
They are loaded on that offensive line. It's they are very deep there. And then Bo Nix coming in. And then you look at Noah Sewell, playing linebacker on the defensive side. That leadership, his brother's in the NFL. They got some help, a returning player, and a nickelback in Jamal Hill. And they bring back their safety, Steve Stevens, the fourth.
Steve Stevens. The parents relate. They did that to that young man. They really put Steve Stevens.
What up, Stevie?
Steve Stevens? Yeah. Come on, Cam. Yeah. Y'all could have did better than that.
Yeah. So, the one thing, too, that I always look at, and you've been teaching me a lot about these numbers, the Oregon defense allowed 42.9% of success rate, ranking them 97th. So opponents averaged 6.8 yards per dropback and 6 yards per rush. So that defense has to get better if they want to be the team that is going to be playing again for the Pac-12 championship. They don't have a lot of competition in that North.
No.
But they've always been almost like the cream of the crop, so to speak. But they have to get better if they want to contend for a playoff spot.
You're right about the defense. So they averaged just 1.6 sacks per game last year. That I mean, they were
sound
as
like
bad
Texas,
as Texas,
huh?
Exactly. Trying to apply pressure off the edges. So that was a problem for them last year. And you're right. I think they had they failed to generate 2 sacks in 8 games.
Wow.
They failed to generate at least 2 sacks in 8 of their games last year. So they got to get better at the pass rush. So defensively, I got a lot of questions. But you just pointed out, they got one of the best young linebackers in the country, and Noah Sewell, the brother of Pene Sewell. So hopefully they get the defense going. That's Dan Lanning's specialty.
I think
Cristobal left him a lot to work with on the offensive side of the ball. That's number 11 in our Horn Top 20 countdown, the Oregon Ducks. We come back, a little Austin FC preview. We'll get into that a little bit too. They play Sporting KC. We'll also give you some updates on the preseason games. Deshaun Watson is playing.
Uh-huh.
We'll give you a little update on how he's doing when we come back right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn. All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie, right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is a 512 Friday. We play jams from local bands and artists that you can catch right here in the live music capital of the world. Who we jamming right now? Who we got?
This is the South Austin Moonlighters with I'll Be Coming Home. They're playing the Saxon Pub tonight.
There you go. All right.
Saxon Pub.
I know what that is, too. Yeah. So I still feel kind of cool.
Yeah.
512 Friday continues right here on Ball Don't Lie. Before we give you a couple of preseason updates and some NFL headlines just really quickly, Austin FC will be facing Sporting KC this weekend. I want to get into this just a little bit. Right now, Austin FC is second, I believe, in the standings of the Western Conference. I think right now Austin FC is looking to secure its first ever playoff qualification.
Yes.
I believe this is, if they, in basically their second place in the Western Conference, got a 9-point gap to close the gap on LAFC, which they won't. I don't think they, even though they have to play LAFC, I believe still ready. So I don't think they'll close that gap because LAFC is pretty damn good. But remember, they can clinch their first ever playoff qualification, and they get to do it against Sporting KC, who they just beat a couple of weeks ago, as a matter of fact, on the road.
That's when Mama won a little bit of money when she placed that bet when we was in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she placed that bet on them. That was the first time she did it. She was like, I feel good about this game.
Well, she was right.
I'm like, Sporting KC, you should feel good about it. They are terrible.
Well, you know what? I said that last week about San Jose.
You did.
And San Jose was bad, but San Jose ended up playing them to a draw.
To a draw, yeah.
And how about this? The Verde and Black basically have suffered basically a late kind of equalizing goal against San Jose to make it a draw, and they have now had a tie or a draw in 3 of their last 5 matches at Q2 Stadium.
Yeah, they got to fix that tomorrow night. And, you know, the
sellout crowd.
Yeah, sellout crowd. They're going for another one. I think that will make it 29 consecutive sellout games. But I was looking at it, and MLS and ESPN, they give out their report cards, and they gave the Austin FC an A-.
Okay.
And it said Josh Wolf's crew has been has the MVP front runner and current Golden Boot leader. So you were asking that question the other day. So there's two different things. Drew can win both. Yes, he can. There's
so
a possibility
you win one for scoring the most goals,
yes,
and one for just being
the MVP.
The MVP.
Yeah,
and so. I think he can win because I think he's leading in goal contributions and in goal scoring.
Yeah,
right now.
with the help of my man Fagundes passing over there, giving the assist. But yeah, so he's been right there, and they've continued to push the envelope, and they've played well. The energy's always been good, and it's a totally different team. I know it sounds like a broken record, but it's more impressive because they go out there and they fight till the very end. They don't ever feel like they're out of a game, ever. When last year, we felt like they were out of games right away.
I would say exactly. Yeah. Sometimes they were never in the game.
Exactly.
And then you would have to tune it out. It'd be background.
Let's
and you decide,
party.
Man, I'm not, exactly,
yeah,
I'm not watching
party.
This.
Yeah.
Oh, what happened in the match?
Yeah.
That is not how you watch Austin FC matches now. You stay glued to the screen because they do have great players. You talked about Sebastian Driussi. He has been involved in at least one goal in a league best 16 different games this season as a goal contributor. He had, in his last seven matches, he's piled up 7 goals and 3 assists in his last 7 matches. And getting back to your boy Fagundes, you want to hear us? He has been great too. He has 10 assists in 2022. That's the 4th most in the league. So he has been great for them. Getting to the Sporting KC just a little bit, I'll say this: they did beat LA Galaxy last week, 4-2 win over LA Galaxy. I know LA Galaxy is not the best team, one of the better teams, but still, this is not a team to sleep on.
No.
It's weird, you know, because teams, as the season goes on, some teams get better, some teams get worse. I think Sporting KC could be a team potentially that's on the upswing, not saying they're going to upset Austin FC or anything.
Don't start it tomorrow.
Just saying you could see that, you know, change. But this is the good news. On the road, Kansas City has the league's lowest scoring offense and has only won twice in 13 matches on the road this year. So the worst scoring team on the road in MLS, and they've only won twice in 13 road matches. Both of those trends seem to favor Austin FC. Would I put money on it? Yeah, I put money on it.
Yeah, okay.
With the playoff qualification on the line there.
Yeah. And playing at home.
And you just make something. They haven't been disappointing at home, but they haven't really had those barn burners.
Right.
Where they score a lot of goals and the fans are excited. They've had close competitive games at home lately. I think this is the match where you see Austin FC really impose their will on Sporting KC. But yeah, don't sleep on Sporting KC.
I think they're getting better.
Yeah, for sure. All right, by the way, Deshaun Watson's first throw was an overthrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he overthrew
it. Yeah, he's 1 of 5 for 7 yards. He has one completion, though. He has one completion.
He's rusty. He hadn't played football in 2 years.
Crank it up.
It's been like a year and a half since he played football. He's a little rusty out there. But we'll see. I think that's going to be a big topic of discussion, how Deshaun Watson looks in the preseason.
Trevor Lawrence, 3 of 9 for 61 yards. Travis Etienne. Is back. He has 7 rushes for 19 yards, so he's getting an opportunity to play today. So is Zay Jones right here, Austin area player.
Shout out.
Zay Jones, 1 reception, 32 yards.
We need to get, since we're giving local love here, let's give a shout out to Colin Johnson.
Oh, yes.
Who had a great game for the Giants.
Yeah, he played well last night.
7 receptions, 82 yards.
Yeah.
Had 8 targets, 7 receptions on 8 targets. So give it, and
Little Jordan Humphrey had a big game.
He had a good game, too, man. Give it up for Little Jordan Humphrey.
Touchdown. He had a touchdown in that game.
Yeah.
Yep.
So some Longhorns showing up, hopefully. I mean, both of those guys are professionals now. I mean,
you're
talking about making multiple NFL rosters for those guys. So good games in the preseason by Colin Johnson and Lil Jordan Humphrey last night.
7 receptions for 82 yards for Colin Johnson. So that was huge
that was
for
big,
him.
Man.
And then Lil Jordan Humphrey, 6 receptions, 62 yards, 1 TD.
Mm-hmm.
And he made an adjustment to make that touchdown. The ball was underthrown. He turned around, made the adjustment. And he's got a chance to play for Bill Belichick.
Yeah, both of those guys end up getting 8 targets in the preseason. I like what little Jordan Humphrey has become. And I said at the time, I said about both of them. I said, Colin Johnson, I know he ran a slow 40, but that guy's an NFL player. And I said about little Jordan Humphrey, I know his 40 was ridiculously slow.
Ridiculously
slow. It was like 4.7. It was
like,
really
come
bad.
On, dog.
But I was like, we've all watched enough films to know that guy can play in the NFL. Does he deserve to be drafted really high or drafted at all? Probably not. But yeah. That guy can play in the league.
Yeah, for sure.
He can separate and create separation and go up and get the ball. So I'm happy for both of those guys. All right, we come back. We'll wrap it up, put it in the oven, and we'll let you know what's on tap for both of us. Right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
Papa Top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this pan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good. That is...
Pop a top again. I've just got time for...
All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie. Time to wrap this thing up and put it in the oven. Before we get out of here, we'll let you know what's on tap for us this weekend. If you missed any part of any of the shows, please go to hornfm.com. You can catch up with them on the podcast page. All right, Harge, what you got? What's on tap for you this weekend?
This weekend, obviously, we're going to meet up on Sunday, but I'm going to go meet the family here for dinner, and then we're going to chill out. My son is back on the field, so I get a chance to watch him play soccer for the first time this weekend after he came back from his broken leg.
Nice. So, that's pretty good. Yeah. So have you seen him like running?
I've seen him running
and
around.
Cutting.
But
and
I haven't seen him actually.
In football pads and everything?
No, I haven't seen it yet. So I get a chance. I've seen him do everything else. We've thrown the ball around. He looks great, feels great. But like everything else, you got to go out there and get hit first.
Got to get hit. It's all
gotta
right.
Got to get hit first.
Oh, man.
Man,
it's going to be good. It's
what you
be
got
good.
This weekend?
I'm going to watch a lot of trash TV. I've been watching a lot of film. I'm basically done with the non-conference games for Texas. Okay. Start breaking out conference foes maybe this weekend. But I'm going to watch that new Predator movie, Prey. Have you heard about it?
It's out
Hulu?
Right now.
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Okay.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yep, I was like, you can watch it with me or not, but I'm watching Prey tonight. All right, she don't watch guy movies with me. She's like, right. I don't watch that. It's a boy movie. I'm like, well, I'm gonna watch it. Yeah. If you want to spend some quality time with your man, then you need to watch this boy movie.
That's
with
what
me.
We doing, girl.
You think I want to watch Real Housewives of Atlanta? No, but I want to spend some quality time with my woman. And you're gonna spend 2 hours watching this damn show. So I'm gonna sit here with you, watch it, and I'm gonna criticize and critique these crazy, desperate, horny housewives on this show.
Love it.
That's how you do quality time. That's what goes down.
So
that's what I'm doing this weekend. I'm gonna watch Prey. Also, a really good show on Apple that I'd recommend: Blackbird.
I've been wanting to watch that,
dude,
too.
Dude, it's legit. Ray Liotta's last performance.
Yeah.
When he passed away.
That's right.
It's good, man. It's worth it. You'd like it. I think wifey would like it, too.
Yeah. Hey, I want to give a shout out to Ike. Ike, happy birthday to your son, Jet. I think that was his name, Jet. I wanted to make sure that I put it out there, man. Sorry about that the other day, but I got you today, bro.
Man, my man Hard. He knows everybody because he treats everybody with respect.
For sure.
Shows the love all the time. I want to thank all of you out there for listening. Remember, the revolution, why do you tell us? We're talking about it right here on Ball Don't Lie. We love you guys. We mean that. Take care of yourselves, but more importantly, take care of each other. Have a great rest of the weekend. Peace.
Visit them at ubeo.com. Great people, great service, endless possibilities.
Serta Pro painters have powers beyond those of ordinary painters.
The power of precision.
That's the power of a skilled local team who know what they're doing.
The power.